Good morning. We want to welcome everyone to worship on this snowy winter morning, and especially welcome our visitors this morning. We hope that you are just blessed by the service and the fellowship here. If you would, there's a red folder on the inside pew. Would you sign that and pass it down, please? We'd really appreciate that. Just want to let you know that there's also going to be a service here tonight at 7 o'clock, the annual Christmas Eve carols, communion, and candlelight service. I don't have any other announcements. Well, I look at this. The Women's Conversation Connection will meet at 8:30 Tuesday morning at Lystra's. Is there anything else anyone would like to make known to us all? All right. During these weeks of Advent, we have been talking about those who have been carriers of God's message of good news. We, along with the angels of God, are carriers of God's message. If you have your phones turned on this morning, I'll ask you to silence them. But if you would like to take a picture, find something meaningful, and do that hashtag thing, you're invited to do that. I tried it last week, and apparently I don't know how to do it right because nothing ever happened with it. So if someone would show me later, I'd appreciate that. This morning is a service that we do just once a year. Christmas is not a time of joy for all people. It is a time of sadness, and it's a blue Christmas for those who are grieving losses. So we will be remembering that this morning, and we will, during the service, be doing a lighting and remembering. The sky was brighter than usual that night, making it easier to keep track of the sheep. And then it got really bright. You would have thought that all the glory shining would have been the sign. That's what we look for. We look for the big, obvious clues about God's presence. But instead, the angel directed the shepherds to a baby, a helpless newborn, in a feeding trough. That was God's sign to us that love is possible and love is powerful. Would you turn to hymn number 220 or follow the screen above me and sing Angels from the Realms of Glory. Please stand.
Angels from the realms of glory, yours o'er all the earth, ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with us is now residing yonder in the ancient light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Nations, rise and
seated.
The candle of love. There are angels among us that may not meet the eye. There are messages of hope coming from a choir on high. But don't just look up, for the way God works is to plant more peace right here on earth, just like it was with Jesus' birth. There are angels among us bringing peace on earth. The hillside, dark and quiet, but for the howling of wolves, during the black night was ordinary for the shepherds. The light surrounding and sight of an angel was an extraordinary moment in the life of sheep herder. A voice of the heavenly messenger was proclaiming the birth of a child and announcing this to be good news, news of joy for the keepers of sheep. With an angel's word, do not be afraid. We are introduced to a new measure of God's love for the world. Trusting the do not be afraid, they went and saw, and their lives were changed.
Holy living God, blessed Jesus, guiding light. Grant us openness to hear your message. And with the angel messengers above us, among us, and within us, we sing. I invite you to pass the love of Christ with your neighbors, for each time we connect with one another, love grows.
Thank you.
it's nice to see all of you here this morning. What's that? What's it for? Huh? I bet there is a duck around here someplace. Or a goose. Huh? You think it's in my pocket?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Oh, that's my... No, there's... That's in my pocket? Yeah, that. And there's also this in my pocket. Okay? No, that's... It's my microphone. Okay? Yeah. So what do feathers have to do with Christmas?
Doves.
Doves, okay. Okay. Doves came down on Jesus quite often, didn't they? Yeah. What do you think?
Angels.
You think it's angels? Have you ever seen an angel with feathers?
No, I haven't seen angels.
You haven't? Has anyone ever seen an angel with feathers in real life?
I think the thing appears.
Oh, you think that thing appears? No, I think that's, that might be feathers. Okay, yeah, okay. So we're thinking about angels this season, okay? Because the angels were very important in helping us to know about Jesus. What do we know about Jesus? Yep. He died on a cross. What else? What are we celebrating tonight?
Christmas.
Christmas Eve. Why do we celebrate?
When Jesus died.
No. Tonight we celebrate when Jesus was born. Yeah, and both of those things are important, aren't they? Because if Jesus had never been born, he wouldn't have been on the cross. But if he hadn't been on the cross, his birth wouldn't have meant very much, right? Okay. Yep. Yeah. You opened presents last night? Okay, yes?
Jesus' birthday is,
yeah, we celebrate that tomorrow, but we begin the celebration tonight. Okay, so what was so special about Jesus? Okay, he died on the cross and came back to life, but there's... What did Jesus teach us? Jesus taught us things about how to live. Okay, did he teach us to love one another?
Yes.
Okay, did he teach us to be kind to one another?
Yes.
Okay, did he teach us to help one another?
Yes.
Okay, did he teach us to bop our brothers on the head?
Yeah, I did that.
Did he teach us to do that?
No.
No. No. Okay. Just want to make sure you are really listening and not just saying yes to everything I was saying.
I was going to say yes.
You were going to say yes? Okay. We're celebrating Jesus and we're remembering how the angels helped us to know who Jesus was. They carried the good news. So do you ever carry good news? Are you ever kind?
I should.
Are you ever loving?
Me.
You're loving? Okay. Well, that's, you know, and that's one of the things that we're told. Yeah. If your brother needs a shirt, you give him your shirt, don't you? Yeah, okay. You want to take a feather with you? Okay, to remind you that God wants us to carry good messages as well. Okay? So let's say a prayer. We thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That you sent us Jesus.
And
we thank you, God.
That
there have been messengers. Who show us.
Who
Jesus is. And they teach us with kindness and love and patience to care about others. Amen. Okay, if you want a feather, take a feather. And if you want a feather for your brother, you can take one for your brother. And you want to take one for Grandma and Grandpa, that's fine. You can. You want a feather too? Oh, yes, you're up.
I don't make the choir sing without practicing, and you all are going to join us on this beautiful Christmas carol, so I'm going to let you practice just a little bit. It's very simple. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a beautiful name. All together.
invite my two readers, the narrator and the messenger, to come on up now. And I want to prepare you. When words flash up here, that means you should pay some attention, because the shepherds have a response that they speak. And men, you are the shepherds this morning, okay? And then shortly after that, there's a choir of heavenly angels, and the congregation is going to be that choir, so we will respond to that as well.
Around the time of Elizabeth's amazing pregnancy and John's birth, the emperor in Rome, Caesar Augustus, required everyone in the Roman Empire to participate in a massive census, the first census since Quirinius had become governor of Syria. Each person had to go to his or her ancestral city to be counted. Mary's fiancé, Joseph, from Nazareth in Galilee, had to participate in the census in the same way everyone else did. Because he was a descendant of King David, his ancestral city was Bethlehem, David's birthplace. Mary, who was now late in her pregnancy that the messenger Gabriel had predicted, accompanied Joseph. While in Bethlehem, she went into labor and gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped the baby in a blanket and laid him in a feeding trough because the inn had no room for them. Nearby in the fields outside of Bethlehem, a group of shepherds were guarding their flocks from predators in the darkness of night. Suddenly, a messenger of the Lord stood in front of them, and the darkness was replaced by a glorious light, the shining light of God's glory. The shepherds were terrified.
Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring good news, news of great joy, news that will affect all people everywhere. Today, in the city of David, a liberator has been born for you. He is the promised anointed one, the supreme authority. This will be a sign for you. You will know you have found him when you see a baby, wrapped in a blanket, lying in a feeding trough.
Really?
At that moment, the first heavenly messenger was joined by thousands of other messengers, a vast heavenly choir. They praised God.
Glory, glory to God in the heaven.
And on earth, peace among those who God fears. Do not be afraid, God is with you.
Do not be afraid. God is with you. That may not be our first response when we become afraid. And I don't think it's our first response, because God created us so that when there is something that is threatening to us, we get afraid. That's a fight or flight thing. That's how we are made. How do we respond, though, following that knee-jerk response? How do we move past or move through the fear? There are people in our world who live in anxiety. They have this super active fear gene. And so they worry about everything. And I don't know if anyone here is one of those people. My husband's grandfather was one of those people. And one of the things about his being anxious was it burned all kinds of energy. So he was always a tiny man. And he never learned how to live in a way that whatever the unknown was, whatever it was that he was anxious about, he never learned to live through that. I know that there are therapists who help people to question the messages that they're giving themselves when they are anxious. I think that that therapy model started with Stuart Smalley. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was on Saturday Night Live originally. And I think that he's the same, he was the actor. Oh, I went blank on his name. Who was the representative from Minnesota that resigned? Yeah, Alfred, yeah. So on Saturday Night Live, Al Franken was Stuart Smalley. And apparently Stuart had a lot of anxiety because he would give himself these daily affirmations. One of them was, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. And he helped himself through his anxiety in that way. That was an attempt to make light of what is really very serious for some people. It was an attempt at humor for those of us who worries just some of the time. Before we click in our messages that say, don't worry, you don't need to worry about that. But so it's humorous for those of us who are not anxious all the time. That may not be funny for people who have this fear of the unknown that really does control them. Some of that fear comes when those whom we love die. Some of that fear comes when we have been unexpectedly laid off of our job and we're in our mid-50s and close to retirement and not going to get another job. Some of that fear comes when there's a sudden illness. All of a sudden, we realize that we are not in control. And the reality is that there's very little that any of us control anyway. We don't control other people. We don't control situations in the world. And some of the time, we don't even have control over ourselves. But we can gain that control. We can control how we respond. We can control how we react when the unexpected happens. Fear, sadness, grief are always new experiences to us because everyone is a different experience. For everyone, there are different importance to us. So that which may send me in a dither isn't going to affect you at all, or vice versa, because I think you're more high anxiety than I am. What we have learned is that we can turn to Scripture, and in Scripture can find the Word of God, the wisdom of God. We can find what we need there that will give us strength or comfort or assurance. remember the story about the wedding feast that Jesus told. It's that one that all of the outsiders were suddenly invited in to the wedding feast. That story offers hope for those who have no one to invite them in. It reminds us that in God's divine order, no one is excluded. No one is uninvited. That story that we're going to listen to again tonight and that was read this morning as well, when there was no room in the inn for the child that was going to be born. It reminds us that Jesus himself was a stranger at times. Jesus himself was an outsider. Jesus was a refugee. So if we are on the outside, we know that there's one who knows our experience. And then we remember the story of Elijah, fearful, fled for his life to the mountain, hiding there. Even in isolation, sometimes that small, still voice comes to us and speaks what we need to hear. Jesus talked about who are blessed and who are cursed. And he talked about those who weep. They're blessed because they will be comforted. This tells us that Jesus is so well aware of our sorrows, of our loss, of our yearnings and our suffering, and has offered the promise of something different. And we remember that when he was on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew that feeling of abandonment, of being abandoned by God, whom he believed in, and who was left alone in his darkness. Jesus invited all who are burdened and weary and in need of rest, because there are burdens. Sometimes that burdens are piled upon burdens and the load can crush us. In his promise, Jesus offers to carry those burdens for us for a while. And in the book of Revelation, we are given the promise that there is a new earth, a new heaven, a time when our tears will be dry, our sorrows will be lifted, there will be no more pain. The Word of God is filled with these assurances, these words that give us strength and hope and comfort. In the times that we find sadness. So Jesus is right in the middle of, not only because of his birth, but Jesus is right in the middle of all that we experience, our fears, our grief, our pain. And he comes to lift that for us today. I would like to invite any and all who would like to come forward and light a candle this morning. If someone whom you love has passed during this year, if someone that you love passed 25 years ago and you still grieve, come and light a candle in remembrance of them. Be- even though they are gone, we continue to remember. So I invite you, do you have something just kind of quiet that you could play? I invite you to come, to light a candle. If you would like me to speak someone's name, I am happy to do that. This one isn't, could I have? Thank you, this is the one we're gonna use this morning. John and Ina Swafford.
My husband, Mike.
Mike Ralstead. Bill Walter.
And Elizabeth Knoth.
Elizabeth Knoth. Tom and Robin's parents. Jim Carney. Pushing it up a little bit. For Shirley Nelson and Jerry Kinchy. Brother Bill and Doug and Barb's parents passed back. For grandparents?
My grandparents.
Okay, for Tim's grandparents. Will and Don. Jack and Sarah Everhart and Robert Dixon. for Aunt Shirley. For Arlene Virchow. For Dick Paul.
For my parents.
For Joanne's parents. For those whose losses felt but are not named today, or whose names are spoken silently. Will you repeat at the end of the phrase, each phrase, we remember them. In the rising of the sun and its going down, we remember them. In the glowing of the wind and in the chill of winter,
we remember them.
In the opening of buds and the rebirth of spring,
we remember them.
In the blueness of the sky and the warmth of summer,
we remember them.
In the rustling of leaves and in the beauty of autumn,
we remember them.
In the beginning of the year, and when it ends. When we are weary and in need of strength. When we are lost and sick at heart. When we have joys we yearn to share. So long as we live, they too shall live, for now they are a part of us as beyond our lives, as we have life, they too shall live, for life comes from God and returns to God. Would you join me in an affirmation of our faith? Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are given gifts beyond what we need. We are given gifts that we can share our blessings, and our gifts make possible the ministries of this congregation and the missions in which we are involved. I invite the ushers to come as we give our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Let us pray together. God of peace and possibility, we offer these gifts so that they may be transformed into your good news for the sake of the world. Amen. You may be seated. I received a note with a question mark on it, and I've got to plead some ignorance here. Jan Bender's funeral is on Thursday.
At what time?
Thursday at 11 o'clock. We want to remember her family in our prayers. Also, I wanted to share with you that Bill Blackman was in the hospital this week. He had his appendix removed, and he's here this morning. Amazing. And also would just like to share with you that Norma retired this week. It's coming Friday? Okay, Norma's going to retire this week. Yes. Yeah, Denman's celebrating his 99th birthday tomorrow. When I visited him earlier this month, he told me he was going to be 100, and I said, no, Denman, sorry. It's only 99. So. Among us, sent Gracious God, we hear your message of love. Do not be afraid. And in these moments, we give thanks for all of the ways that we have known your presence among us in the words and the actions that bring love in the midst of fear. We pray for those who prayerfully work for inner love and for love in the world. And if you would like to name anyone at this point, I invite you to do so. In the spirit of this season, let us ask God for what we need for ourselves as we come to the close of this Advent season and the beginning of a Christmas season. We ask for what we need for coping, for healing, for comfort. Gracious God, as the nights have been growing longer, so is the darkness at times. We ask your healing on those who grieve for what might have been. Death and loss have changed our experience of Christmas. Help us to remember that it is a celebration of your birth. We're reminded that all of life has uncertainties, and that when that uncertainty, that loss, that grief, that pain comes to us, we know that you are with us. Hear our prayers. Grant the blessing that we ask in the name of Jesus. For peace proclaimed by the Christmas angels, for compassion and love, we know that you hear our prayers. So we pray as he taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Amen. The word Noël comes from a French word meaning a shout of joy. The older roots in Latin speak of news. So we proclaim joyful news has come to us in Jesus Christ. May you be humming this all day long as you celebrate the birth of Jesus, the first Noël.
Stand.
If there's anyone that you know who isn't going to be, might be alone tonight or doesn't have a church to worship in and you'd like to invite them to worship with us tonight, please do so. Send out some hashtags if that's what you do, or you've got the little card to pass along. May the light of Christ shine through our deepest darkness and sustain us on our journey of faith, hope, and love. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. And would you turn toward one another and sing Do Not Be Afraid to each other, please.
Do not be afraid.